Good morning, Christ Center. It's Thursday, November the 6th, and we are in week 9 of our walk through the book of Mark. Today, we're going to read Mark 15, 20 through 32. But before we do that, let's take a moment and quiet our hearts as we invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Mark 15, 20 through 32. They led him out to crucify him. They forced a man coming in from the country who was passing by to carry Jesus' cross. He was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his clothes, casting lots for them to decide which each would get. Now it was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge written against him was, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 criminals with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by were yelling insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "Ha! The one who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself by coming down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests with the scribes were mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, so that we may see and believe." Even those who were crucified with him taunted him.
Thanks, Carly. Once again, here with Carly Davis and Janelle. And we are, you know, yesterday we talked about the humiliation of this whole thing and the beating that preceded this, and just reminding you, remember the crucifixion, the cross was meant as the ultimate humiliation. It wasn't just about the pain, although the pain was also a huge part of this. It wasn't maximum torture, but it was also maximum humiliation, which was in their minds, you know, you are punishing traitors and you're punishing slaves. And so you're wanting to remind them who they really are and how little power they actually have. So as we get to this part, Janelle, you can see the insults. The insults are all about that very thing. And that humiliation and the taunting that you are not, you're clearly not who you say you are.
Yeah, at every turn, that's like the calculated message they were trying to send here.
To mock the King of the Jews, like as if you're the King of the Jews, as if you're this person, even down to the point when the people he's crucified in between are mocking him. It's talk about insult to injury here. In the middle of this, we have this other person who enters the scene, Simon of Cyrene. And we don't know much about him except that he is called Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene was a city in northern Africa. And remember, the Jewish people had been scattered all over the empire ever since in 586 of Nebuchadnezzar coming in and capturing Jerusalem. And they scattered people all throughout the empire. And then we have what's known as the diaspora, the dispersing of the Jewish people all over. And you really get a sense of this in Acts 2, when all the different people groups are listed and where they came from, when the Holy Spirit fell and all the languages there were represented. This was a very, very international crowd that's here at feast time, that would have been there at every feast time because people are coming from all those areas to Jerusalem. It could have been that Simon actually, with his family, lived in Cyrene and was just happened to be there. Maybe he had settled there beforehand. We don't really know. But we have this man who is probably an African Jewish person and was there perhaps for feast time. And he just so happened to be in this location right here as all this is going on and is called out because Jesus, he's just so broken in every way, unable to carry this cross. And so this man who just so happens to be there, maybe he just looked particularly strong to them. There's speculation too that, you know, he is from Africa. Maybe he was singled out of the crowd because he was black. which I find that a really interesting thing too. This would have been a very diverse crowd. I don't know. But they call on him and say, you carry this.
Yeah, in verse 21, they forced a man. I'm like, wow. Like, obviously, like we talked about yesterday, all the soldiers, there was potentially thousands. You clearly are not going to say no to that.
Right.
Like, go pick up this cross.
Yeah.
Like, what was going through his mind at this moment? Holy smokes.
Yeah. I mean, talk about being pulled into something truly awful. And he's got his children there, Alexander and Rufus. And it's interesting why his children are even mentioned.
Right.
Like, there's a Rufus that's mentioned in the book of Romans. As Paul greets him and reads all these people in Romans 16, he greets a Rufus. And that has been a long-held question. Could this be the same Rufus? Which I think it very well might be. Because, you know, why would he mention him if there's not some other connection that he became a church figure later on?
Yeah, can you imagine living through that experience? I think about Simon and even his children. Like, how many nights did he lay awake after that? Like, what just happened? What did I just do?
Yeah.
Months down the road, years down the road. Like, I carried his cross.
Yeah. Carly? We hear a lot about Jesus saying, take up your cross every day. And we think of that metaphorically of like, take up the hard things and still live as a disciple of Jesus. Here's a man that literally took up Jesus' cross.
I wonder if he was like, if there was at any point, if he recognized the honor of it or if it was just a traumatic thing that happened to him. Because I'm thinking of this very literally. We talked about the Passion of the Christ yesterday and how this experience that Jesus had was visceral. He was broken skin, and Simon had to carry this cross that had been on. Like, he literally had Jesus's blood on him. That would have been so traumatic to see that, and then to carry it. And I imagine that it felt way heavier. That's heavy.
Yeah. In the moment, I can't imagine how he would be like, oh, this is an honor.
Yeah,
he might like, have no idea who he was, or just thought that what everyone else thought, that he's a false messiah or whatever.
But he did it. He took up, and who knows, was Jesus in front of him? Did he literally take up Jesus's cross and follow Jesus? It makes it a little bit more serious. This isn't like, oh, I'm going to pick up my cross and then go to McDonald's. It's like, I'm picking up this cross and I'm going to Golgotha, where I'm going to die to myself. Like that's what that means.
This would have been incredibly traumatic. I think there's no way around it. And if he did indeed follow Jesus, as I don't know, it's hard for me to picture him not after this point.
It really feels like a lineage changing moment. Like,
yes.
The children are mentioned because it changed their lives. Like this encountering of Jesus changed their whole lives forever.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when word starts to trickle out and rumors at first that Jesus has risen from the dead, and then you see the church coalescing over the next decades to have that in your history, like, oh, wow.
That's when you would feel the honor maybe.
Yeah, like the worst moment ever in my life is this was terrible. And yet, oh my goodness, what an honor.
Yeah.
To have carried Jesus' cross. Janelle, did you pray a blessing over? Unless you had something else.
No, this is so sober. Jesus, thank you for what's happening in this passage. And I just ask that you would bless us as we consider this scripture again, and that you would continue to speak to us about what you have for us in this. Thank you for your love, your humility, and your care for us. Help us to be aware of that today. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.